Welcome to the Dirt Life Show with your host, George Hamill.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Welcome to episode 123 of the Dirt Life Show. We got a San Felipe 250 recap for you guys tonight. My name is Jordy Hamill, host of the Dirt Life Show. We got a ton of cool stuff that's going to happen tonight. All kinds of badass guests. We have Rob McCachran's going to join us. Start off the show, Justin Lambert of Cognito. He was a big winner in the UTV class. Christian Serapis and Evan Weller. Man, they had a fantastic run going. Caden Wells, Emma Cornwell, they're going to join us as well. Wayne Matlock and Caden McCachran. So we got a bunch of people that are going to hang out with us tonight. I'm stoked. There's going to be so much taco talk. This is like the show that was made up for me. So I'm pumped. We're at IMG Motorsports. You can probably see behind me over there, the OG James Hill just throwing it out the side of the window. Let's see here. We are going to give away this bad boy, too. So Desert Squadron's giving away this trauma kit. So stay tuned. We're going to do this, probably give it away at the end of the show. So if you guys don't want to hang out and watch the show, come back a little later and check it out. But yeah, so JD Walker, what's up, dude? Oh, he works at Cognito. Yeah, it is a badass place and badass products, too. A lot of the guys at IMG Motorsports here rely on their Cognito products. Yeah, Joe. We were eating at the Malecon. Only one day, though, dude. Let's see here. We are going to – oh, yeah. Let's always – as we always ask, please share the show. So share this with your friends. There should be a little share button right down on your Instagram on the bottom right. So share that with your friends. Tell them to come hang out. Watch the show with us. The more you can help us grow the show, the better it is for our sponsors, and the more we can have the show and talk about some fun stuff. Let's see here. Yeah, just keep sharing away, man. The Desert Squadron giveaway is going to be pretty cool. These things are so badass, man. Let me give you guys a little sneak peek while we wait for Rob Mack to come and join us. Let me see here. These things are sweet, dude. They have everything inside them. So it's a trauma kit, and it has all of your stuff that you need, man. Look at all that. Everything is in here. You got scissors, gauze, band-aids, cleansers. Dude, big safety guy here. I'm so stoked that John and all the guys over at Desert Squadron are giving this stuff away to have you guys be safer when you're out on the trail, too. So, yeah, there's Patty. She wants to win this bad boy. So we'll leave this just over here. But, yeah, so the San Felipe 250 was pretty rad, man. There was a lot of people down there. The vibes were high. Taco level was high. But most of all, I think people were just really putting in a lot of work. I know Caden Wells, we'll talk to him a little bit later. His dad was telling me that they put in something like, 1,600 miles of pre-running work. I mean, that's insane, especially for a UTV team. And I'm sure some of the trophy truck teams put in three times as much that. I know that some of them were down there for 2 or 3 weeks, so we can talk to Rob Mack a little bit about it when he gets ready to come on here. So Rob, feel free to join us anytime, and we'll see how many miles he put in pre-running. We did some fun stuff too. We did stuff like going down and checking out what was in people's coolers. We got to do that with Rob. Amber hooked him up with some awesome stuff, so him, Caden, and all the pit crew guys could get in there and eat real good food. So that was pretty cool. If you guys have any questions for any of the guests that are coming on, like I said, Rob Mack, Justin Lambert, Christian Serapis, Evan Weller, Caden Wells, Emma Cornwell, Wayne Matlock, and Caden Mack. I also think Kristen Matlock might join us too, but we'll see what she has going on when Wayne comes on. But if you have any questions for any of the guests, please just, you know, let us know in the comments section here. We got Facebook and YouTube going too. So if you want to send us comments there, that's totally cool too. But Instagram will probably be the best way. So yeah, we'll get Rob Mack on here in just a second. Let me see if I can invite him. And then we'll talk with him and see how his San Felipe went. Man, it was hard for those guys in the two-wheel drive trucks to battle against the four-wheel drives, but he did a fantastic job, man. Insanely fast. The amount of speed that guy possesses is just still blows me away. His driving capability is just phenomenal, right? So let's see if we can get Rob Mack coming on here in just a second. And then I think it's going to be cool to talk with Caden Wells today, too. So him and Emma were having a good time out there. They've been pre-running a lot. We'll talk with Christian Serapis and Evan Weller a little bit about some of the stuff that they've been doing. They were prepping with that new Coors Light truck, which is insanely cool. One of the, I don't know what you want to call it, if prettiest is the right word, one of the most badass trucks that I've seen in a long time. So it looks like Rob's having a little bit of trouble. Let me make sure that I have Caden. If you're helping your dad, please make sure that he has the latest Instagram app on his phone. And yeah, so that truck, dude, was insanely cool. The KMC wheels that they had, got my Run KMC shirt on. Yeah, so why don't we do that while we wait for Rob to join? Yeah, share us as much as you guys can. You can share us on Facebook, YouTube. You can always join us and drop us DMs on Instagram. We try to get back to all your guys' messages. It's really cool to see what you guys want and to see how you guys like the stuff that we're doing. So please tell us what you want, what we can do better, and share the show. The show is we have some fantastic partners. So like I said, KMC. So go support the KMC guys. Head down to your local 4Wheel Parts dealer. Order some KMC wheels. Just support those guys because they support us and they support the sport too. So they support Christian Serapis and that Coors Light truck too. So thanks to the guys over at Motul, some of the best oils on the planet. Any type of stuff they have, they got all their 300V stuff for the racing. There was tons of guys out there in San Felipe using it, including the Matlocks. Man, there was just a bunch of people that use Motul products. So we are stoked to see how integrated Motul is becoming in the off-road community. So please get yourself some too. You can head down to local cycle parts or any of those and get yourself some Motul oil. Thanks to the guys over at Shock Therapy. You can use the code DIRTLIFE at shocktherapyusa.com and get limit straps, you know, a steering rack, any of those things, the hard parts. You can also tell them that the Dirt Life sent you when you call them up and ask for the ride improvement system or getting some shock revalving. They also have their bump steer delete kits too. And we've got a new sponsor joining us, JL Audio. So the guys over at JL Audio have some insanely cool speakers and sound systems. They have some that you can use in your Can-Am. It goes up on the roof. All mounts integrates their stock. Thanks to guys over at EFX Tires. Thanks to guys at Evolution Power Sports. So you can get Code Shooter and some more power out of your car by using your cell phone. So hit up Evolution Power Sports. Get yourself an exhaust or anything. Zollinger Racing Products, you can use the code THEDIRTLIFE. Get yourself some tie rods, match up with your Shock Therapy steering rack. Vision Canopies, another new sponsor. So if you guys need any canopies, head over to Vision Canopies and check it out. They got a really cool social media page. They can do all custom canopies for you. They got some awesome stuff over there. Thanks to the guys at CryoHeat and Solder Weld for always sticking with the show. Let's see if we can get Rob Mack on here. Talk to him about his San Felipe. Joe already said, let's see here. There we go. Rob Mack, what's up, buddy?
How are you?
We're doing fantastic, man. I think all of us, including probably you and the whole team, are a little bit tired from the long last week or 10 days down in Mexico. But overall, you did a fantastic job. How you been feeling?
Good. Yeah, we were down there. We did the Mint 400 in the truck, and then we basically had 2 weeks to turn it around and prep it. And the last lap of the Mint, the dry sump pump broke, so we had to take the motor out and send it to Poyer and let him check it and service it, get it back in. So there was a lot of work leading up to San Felipe, and then get down there and pre-run. We had a good week pre-running and had a fairly good race. And again, it feels like we just got home, and I've been cleaning stuff in a Mode and Chase trucks and cleaning pre-runners and everything last night and today, trying to unload.
It never ends, right?
No, it doesn't. Yeah, you've been here times, and yeah, now everything's moved to Vegas, or I'm moving stuff to Vegas.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of behind the scenes stuff. So maybe you could touch on that a little bit before we start talking about the race. So your race program kind of changed. You're going to be moving the shop from San Jacinto, California, back up to Vegas. That's a pretty big transition when you have such a long-standing race team and a long-standing program. How's that going?
It's good. I mean, it's a lot of work. You know, you've been to the shop, and it was a 5,000 square foot building, and had, you know, just everything's in there, and that shop for, you know, man, it's been a lot of years, like since 2009. Yeah. So, you know, I've been wanting to move to Vegas and get up here and have, you know, my friends and the people that I've known forever since when I started racing, you know, get back involved with the program. So, you know, things kind of came suddenly in the beginning of January, and we got the truck prepped to go to the Mint. And then right after the Mint, again, like I was saying earlier, you know, we had to get it up here, and basically do a quick prep for San Felipe, and the truck, you know, performed really good. So, you know, and now, I'm already counting the days to the Baja 500. So, sorry.
No worries. You're more than welcome to just hold the phone too. Yeah, it's crazy. Like we said, how it never ends. It's just like it keeps going back to back. And no matter what it is, whether it's let's just say a faulty part or something that needs to be changed in the truck or moving your race program, it all just compiles. And it's so neat to see somebody like you that's had so many years behind the wheel and behind racing programs be able to navigate that stuff so well, I guess you could say. Like, most of these people would be like freaking out about it, but you know how to go through the process.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I wasn't freaking out about it, but we made it happen. You know, I got good friends, you know, Billy and Robbie Gerke over at Collins Motorsports. I reached out to them, you know, mid-January, asked them if they were available to help out between the Mint and San Felipe, and they absolutely jumped on it, and had some other guys there that I know. A lot of, like, again, like I said earlier, a lot of my friends from Vegas work there. The people that I've known forever, and they put a lot of hours in, and we got the truck prepped, and, you know, we had zero issues with the truck at San Felipe and came away with a pretty good finish, fourth place.
Yeah, it actually, I want to talk about that a little bit here. So there's two main things that I want to talk about. I want to talk about, your guys's prep, before the race, like mostly like the pre-running stuff, because I was really interested when I got to see you in the middle of the desert, right? Like, it was really interesting to me to see the way that you guys were attacking the pre-running and the logistical portion of that. But before we talk about that, let's talk about the race itself. So you had a phenomenal task to be able to compete in a two-wheel drive truck against, we're going to call them the big dogs now, the big trucks with the four-wheel drive. You've gotten to drive those before. So knowing what the capabilities of those trucks are and the insane terrain of San Felipe, going in with I don't know what you want to call it, a knife in a gunfight kind of thing, how does the vibe going into something like that?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of success at San Felipe, it being a rough course, I think, and fast. So you know, what I'll say is every time you start and stop, an all-wheel drive has an advantage. San Felipe is a higher speed track, and it's very rough, which I think it takes a little bit of their advantage away. You know, last year, Luke McMillan finished second to Bryce, and he wasn't that far off. This year, you know, we were the first two-wheel drive truck finishing fourth, but we were only, I think, a little under 6 minutes off the lead. And we had a lot. We didn't qualify well. We qualified 12th, started 13th because one of the all-wheel drive legend trucks qualified in front of us. So we had quite a bit of dust, kind of caught the first dust cloud from mile 20 to about 45. We were in the dust. Then I got broke free of it all the way up to about one, probably it was right before Morelia Junction. So around the 125 mile mark. And from 125, we followed dust all the way to 206 before we got clear. And that was on the other side just before we got into Metomi Wash. But, you know, again, you know, I like the challenge. I like the battle, you know, and trying to, you know, beat the all wheel drives with the two wheel drive is something that, you know, it's fun. Honestly, it's a challenge. They do, you know, driving Luke's all wheel drive truck at the 1,000 last year and testing with it. You know, I pretty much realized, you know, it is a little bit of a knife to a gunfight, but, you know, again, it's a challenge. So, I think, you know, again, going back to the rough, fast race, the two-wheel drives aren't at that big of a disadvantage at a race like San Felipe. I think it'll be a little bit different at the races like the 500 and the 400, where you got all the stopping, starting, all the twisty roads when the, you know, it's basically slow down, go. When that happens, yeah, the more it happens, the more the all-wheel drives have the advantage. And really, you know, I'm always analyzing, you know, this sport and everything. And I really wasn't worried about the all-wheel drives till last year, 2021, there ended up being quite a few of them. I think, you know, there's 15 to 20 of them now that are out there. And with that, a quantity of them, you know, it's definitely going to be harder and harder for the two-wheel drives.
Yeah. And as they get the bugs worked out of them and stuff too. So like when I'm coming from a motocross background, we always did things like, let's just say at local races, not necessarily nationals or anything, but we would bring, like a 125 two stroke or a 250 four stroke and race it against the premier guys, like a 450 or a 250. And, we would do that to increase our capabilities, right? You got to be faster and more calculated behind the handlebars or behind the wheel in something, that needs to go faster. And it was really cool for us because we learned a lot doing that. And I see that you're kind of going the same route.
Yeah, no, it is. You know, it's, you know, we don't have a big block either, so we're down on power as well. But typically I don't complain about those things. It is what it is. And we're going to try to beat him any way we can. You know, off-road racing, you know, the desert's a great equalizer to everyone. You know, you need to do your homework. You need to do your pre-running. And I think, you know, again, we saw you quite a bit pre-running down there. You were chasing, I think, the Matlocks around and Craig Scanlon and those guys. And we seemed to run into each other quite a bit. And, you know, you saw us pre-running. Caden and my son, pre-running our Polaris Razor. So I think we got we were above 900 miles pre-running in the Razor. And I can tell you, speed definitely was down. But I can tell you, I really learned the track because when you're going, you know, at slower pace than I'm used to in my big buggy, you know, I really got to see the course really well and learn everything. So I don't, again, you know, we had a great time. We had zero problems with the Razor pre-running and zero problems at the racetrack.
It's really cool to see that, though, and to see the smile on your face. I got to the finish line when Caden had just crossed the line with the Jagged X team and the Razor, and you had been done for quite some time. But to see the smile on your face for your performance, you know, you've won so many races, and kudos to you for still keeping a level head and understanding the battle that you're fighting against the all-wheel drive trucks, because you understood that no matter what, like, that race was almost, I don't know, a perfect race in essence, right? You didn't have really any issues. You drove like a madman. You were fantastic out there, but it just is what it is at this point, right?
No, it's true. You know, and I guess, you know, looking back on it in hindsight, if we could have qualified, you know, top five, let's say, or fourth or fifth, and not got caught in the dust that we did and lost the time there, I think we would have been closer. Again, I think we lost by, I think it was 5 minutes, 40 seconds out of the win. I know, you know, Luke had a couple problems. I think, you know, the pace was fast. There was a lot of rocks. I think Luke got two flats. I think Bryce got four. I think Jax got two. We got one. You know, and again, like I said, if we could have started up near the front and not been caught in the dust, I think it would have been a lot closer for us. But, you know, everyone has those stories and the reasons why they didn't win. So, you know, in the end of the day, we ended up fourth, and I am happy about that. You know, for the most part, we like winning races. You know, it's a good start to the season. It'll give us a good start for the Baja 500. And there's definitely some other people and other trophy shot teams that had a lot, you know, worse efforts, or worse results there at San Felipe. And they're really behind the eight ball, either with the DNF or a poor finish and a really bad starting spot for the 500, and pretty much takes them out of a chance to win, I think. So,
yeah. And you know how important it is to have that good starting position for the rest of the year fighting for a championship. So, yeah, like I said, kudos to you, man. We only have about a minute left, maybe 30 seconds or so. So tell us what your favorite part of the entire week, we'll call it, was. Was it spending time with Caden? Was it crossing the finish line? Was it having Amber there? I mean, like, what was the best thing that you can remember of the whole week?
No, it's really all of that. You know, the team, you know, spending the week down there in San Felipe, pre-running, you know, the sights, the scenery. It's not just one thing. You know, Matomi Wash and seeing that, you know, at night, you know, going into town, eating dinner, sitting with different people, different teams, chatting with them, you know, starting on the Malecon again,
finishing there as well. And just all the fans, I mean, out on the race course, I think the fans did, you know, a better job than they've done a long time staying away from the track. I was really impressed with that, you know, before, you know, the course is like closed, you know, with people. And as you're coming to the finish at over 100 miles an hour, you can't see through them, and they got to separate like a sea. And that did not happen this time, for me at least. And, you know, so I want to applaud the fans for, you know, being a little more polite and trying to stay away from the track. And I think they did a good job. There was a really lot of people down there, so it's definitely pretty awesome to have, you know, that happen. And the first race of the Score Series was pretty damn cool.
It was really cool. I love that you said that, because like, it's giving me chills just thinking about how awesome all of the stuff was. Like, it was back to normal. You know what I mean? I love that. So, yeah. Hey, we're going to talk with Justin from Cognito Motorsports in just a second, Rob. So I really appreciate you joining us, dude. You really kicked ass this weekend, so you should be very proud, and I'm excited to see what comes at the Baja 500.
Yep. Thank you, George.
Thank you. We'll see you later, bud.
Take care.
All right. So let's get Justin Lambert from Cognito Motorsports on. He was the overall winner at the in the UTV Turbo class. We'll see what he has to say. Justin Lambert, what's up, bud?
Hey, how we doing?
Good, bro. How are you?
Pretty good. Still recovering from Baja.
Dude, I tell you what, like, I don't know if anybody can see it, but the bags underneath my eyes are still pretty heavy too. So, hey, so how long did you spend down there in Baja? Did you pre-run a lot?
Yeah, we kind of did it a little shorter this time. Got down there on Tuesday and just ran the first 40 miles and then, hit it hard on Wednesday and then hit it again Thursday. But man, it was, the roughest 250 or 270 miles I've ever been in.
Yeah, and there was no way to get out of it. We got to get in the helicopter for a little bit and go check out the course. There was like maybe two different lines that were 100, 200 yards of just like not whoops, and then everything else was just straight up 3-foot whoops, right?
It was brutal. I mean, after Wednesday, my ass was kicked, and I was like, I don't want to do that again on Thursday, but we got a second win on Thursday. We did it again. We were glad we did.
Yeah, totally. So a lot of the guys that we've talked to while we were down there, and Rob kind of just mentioned it as well, pre-running had a lot to do with their success because they were able to navigate the course a little bit better, right? Did you notice that too, like when you were out there on course during the races, that you were able to find and choose where you wanted to go, even if you were in traffic a little bit better?
I'll tell you, on race day, it's a whole different animal when you're in the dust. You know, in the dust, it's really hard to get your bearings right. And unless you run it, you know, 1,500 miles like Rob Mack or whatever, you know, we only put in about 450 miles. But that's really all we could afford to do. But yeah, if you got clean air, then you're comfortable because you've seen it a couple times. But if you're in the dust and you know, and you're not exactly sure where you're at, it's pretty easy to miss your line that you've kind of practiced and marked. And that gets a little frustrating.
Where did you guys start then?
We started second.
Okay. So you had dust for a little while, and then you probably caught like, I got to fly in the helicopter for a little bit on during race day. There was a lot of traffic in front of the UTVs. And so you probably had to go through a bunch of, and even above that, there was tons and tons of carnage in the first 80 miles.
Yeah. You know, it was fortunate we got to start, or we drew, you know, towards the front there, starting second. So honestly, the dust could have been worse. So yeah. I felt a little bit blessed there. We were, you know, kind of in the dust of one or two 7 trucks, kind of going back and forth with them. But there's a lot of lines out there. And I feel like we did our homework in some good areas and got around some of them guys, and they didn't even know it. But you know, I think the guys behind me probably had a lot more dust than I did, to be honest.
We did have some issues.
We did have some issues. And so starting up front definitely helped.
So what was some of the things are the biggest milestones during the race? Like, did you have any issues?
Man, I tell you, so Thursday, So race is Saturday. On Thursday, we said, okay, usually on Friday, we will go test the car. So we'll go out on the first 40 miles with the race car. This time we decided to do it on Thursday. So we went out to race mile 10 and ran to 45 in the race car on Thursday. Everything shook down well, felt great. And then at that point, we hopped in the pre-runner and went around the rest of the course. But Saturday during the race, my rear shocks went away at literally race mile one. We hit a concrete barrier that was underneath the sand right after we went underneath the bridge. And there was this concrete barrier sticking up out of the sand about 6 or 8 inches. And we didn't really check up for it. And when we hit it, I mean, the shocks bottomed out and it was loud and it hurt. And I was like, oh, that's not good. And right after that, we started banging the rear skid pan on the ground. And I'm like, no. This is a race mile one. And I'm going, this is going to be a long day. Yeah. So I was on edge at that point, you know, really trying to focus and take the best line, kind of get out of the groove. So you weren't banging the skid plate on the ground. Just trying to stay easy. And I knew I had Ampudia start right behind me, and he's always in a hurry and, yeah, and not very patient. So I was just waiting for him and just let him by. And unfortunately for him, I think he was pulled over right around race mile 30 or something like that. So we got back by him, but so we struggled with rear shock problems all day, which slowed us down a bunch.
That's crazy. You're not the only one that I've talked to or seen that had that kind of same issue. I wonder if some of these other people's issues were related to that same cement bump. But like Craig Scanlon, our buddy, he had a shock failure go out. He had a tire failure or a rim failure because he nailed a rock. But like those types of things happen in the blink of an eye, right? And so I told him, I was fucking with him at the end, like at the finish line. I go, how the hell did Craig Scanlon learn to drive so smooth? And you're saying the same thing, because it's like, all right, now I got to compensate for the car with my driving abilities. And now you're driving smooth and you're making sure that the rear end stays up and like locked onto the bumps better. It's a pretty gnarly thing to have that much stress for, well, let's just say 4 or 5 hours or 270 miles, right?
Totally, totally. And, you know, we got up towards the northern end of the course, and we decided we were going to go ahead and fill up at race mile 65 and then just hit one more stop down at 170 for fuel. But when we got to 65 and we were pulled over, they told us we were in front. And so Ampudia was, you know, still having issues. And the guy who started in first, I'm not familiar with who he is, but he passed us while we were getting fuel right there. And so we got back on course, just did our thing. Definitely could not go as fast as we thought we were going to go because of the shock issue. But man, we just made the best of it and took care of the car the best we could and just kept it smooth and as fast as possible.
Yeah. But kudos to you for your driving capabilities to be able to manage what the car was giving you or what the car had available for you. Colton Husted just commented in and said, blown rear shocks for him too. So that's another one. So it's already been like six people that have said the same exact thing. It's kind of crazy. But so what was some of the most memorable portions of the race? Like just going like on course and pre-running and obviously checking it out in the helicopter, like going through the wash, dude, some of those new little sections, they were new to me at least, were so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a different course every year, and I'm still learning Baja. I mean, I haven't been down there for as much time as some of these other vets have, legends and vets. So I'm still learning it down there, and this is the only the second time I've raced the San Felipe 250. Last year was the first. So there's a lot of stuff out there that's still new to me, still trying to figure out where I am here and there. And then on top of that, just you know, getting together all the little bugs and stuff that we've had in our race car. And I think we've finally got those out. You know, we were at the mint 3 weeks ago and blew up a transmission and found out what the culprit was there and addressed it. And so to go down to the San Felipe 250, as rough as it was, and really not have any problems other than, you know, the shocks, the rear shocks, to get through that clean, and that rough of a course was, man, just felt really good.
Yeah, and I want to say too, just to preface it, the rear shocks was not a shock issue; it was self-inflicted, right? So, like,
yeah, it was self-inflicted. I don't know if we cavitated the rear shocks or what, but man, they were great when we tested on Thursday, and come Saturday, as soon as we hit that barrier, I'm like, wow, something's not right. It was shocking. I mean, I felt it through the spine too. So
yeah, I was going to say, how did your back feel after going 270 miles with those bad boys?
I'm definitely babying my back and my neck this week, but so far so good.
One of the questions that just popped into my mind is, you said it's kind of, you're kind of new to Mexico, so to speak. What would be the main difference that you think is behind some of the best in the desert courses, or like, let's just say the Mint 400 course compared to the San Felipe course?
A lot more lines in San Felipe. So it really pays off to do your homework. I feel like I shouldn't be saying that because I might have some competitors watching this, but it really does pay off to go do your homework down there, go run the course a couple times, which obviously at the Mint, you can't do that. Less lines at the Mint. Your first lap out at the Mint, you're getting the feel for it. Second right. lap out at the Mint, you feel a little better. And then the third and the fourth lap at the Mint, you're hauling ass. So, at San Felipe, it's just learning the terrain, reading the terrain, picking the best lines to where it fits your driving style the best, maybe cornering, things like that. And I've been racing in Baja, for, I don't know, 7 years now, maybe 6 or 7 years, but there's still a ton to learn down there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, we always look at guys like who was just on Rob Mack and kind of get our baseline, right? And there's one of the conversations I had with him while we were out pre-running is I just saw him and he goes, you know what? Like, I've been down to Mexico so many times, because I asked him the question. I'm like, where do you get the best tacos? And he's like, dude, I spend too much time in the desert looking at all these different lines. I couldn't even tell you. Like, so when he goes down there, that's what he does, right? Like, that's what the name of the game yep. is. And I think that even though you said, you don't want to give your competitors the secrets, I don't think you can actually get a secret or an edge. You could spend all year down there, and then on race day, like you mentioned, it's a totally different game. Like, you could kind of have your lines picked, but there's probably going to be somebody there. There's probably going to be dust. You probably got to go somewhere else. Like, it gets crazy.
Yeah, it usually doesn't work out the way you planned. And, the other tough thing down there is obviously logistics and safety. Yep. And, we kind of changed our strategy on Friday night. We were going to pit at Morelia Junction, which was basically the halfway mark through the race. We were going to fill up there, and then we'd be fine the rest of the race. We can go about 140 miles, in the San Felipe terrain. It's, get great mileage there because it's so soft.
Yep.
But we changed that up. So we went ahead and topped off at race mile 65. And then those guys were going to go around to race mile 170, which is further south. But what we didn't take into account was all the highway traffic and the traffic in San Felipe. And my guys did not make it to the pit spot at race yep. mile 70.
Yep.
At the race mile 170, quite in time. So I actually had to go down an access road and meet them. It took us about a minute to get to them. They jumped out of the truck, grabbing the cans, dumping them, looking at the CV axles, all that kind of stuff. We turned around, went back up, the access road a minute, got back in course at our VCP, and we're gone.
Dude, that's crazy.
We were lucky they were that close. We missed it on the traffic and didn't plan for that. It was worse than we thought it would be.
Yeah, but that's nuts that you were able to it's exactly what we're saying, right? Like, you don't know what's going to yep. happen on race day, man. That's phenomenal. So you basically, yeah. you gave up, we'll call it 2 to 3 minutes, like just having to yep. Execute on the logistical portion of it. That's nuts, dude.
Yeah, and to get back on course and still be out front, and then my guys kind of hung out because race mile 260 is only like a mile away from race mile 170 because yep. it's a loop, down there. So after we were done there, they went back to 260, which was going to be their next, to see us through there. And that loop from 170 to 260, it was just absolutely brutal in these small. I mean, we got 33-inch tires per the rules.
Yep.
And the whoops are – we need – I want to put – 39s on my razor yeah. sometimes, but we made it through and we came back through 260. The guys stood there and were like, hey, there's nobody yet. 5 minutes later, hey, there's nobody yet.
Oh, really?
And then finally they come back and go, hey, the next car is 11 minutes behind you. And so take it easy, be smart. Don't blow it. You got 17 miles left. And,
that's what we did.
Did you feel like you were pushing it really hard to get that gap, or did you feel like you were just in like medium mode?
I pushed it really hard where it was smooth enough to where we could with what we had to work with at the time. But in the rough stuff, I just had to slow it down. I think that, you know, our issues probably cost us 20 minutes or so for the whole race.
Dude, that's crazy.
We did have one flat. We did have one flat as well, which was well deserved. I mean, I can't believe how tough these ITP tires are we're using. We just switched from their Coyote, which is a great tire and a really tough tire. We just switched over to the Tenacity from ITP, and we hit a rock on the right side, like bowling ball size, and we hit it with both front and rear right side tires. And I thought, oh my God, that's a double flat. We only got one spare. And we're back in the middle of nowhere. And we didn't get a flat on either side that time. And then I slid around another corner, clipped a rock, cut a sidewall on the left side. So we changed one tire. But other than that, and that was it. We kept the tires rolling all day, except for that spot right there.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. It's so insane to me to hear like the adversity. So you have issues with the shocks, again, self-inflicted, a tire puncture that was self-inflicted. I mean, like all of these things that happen, but you still come out on top by a good amount, right? Like, so that's got to be like really self-fulfilling understanding that you could have gone and done better.
Yeah, I mean, it's been quite a while since the luck has gone our direction. So everybody said we were due for some good luck, and we were. I mean, we worked hard at it. We bust our butt, and I'll be honest. You know, desert racing is not my means of income. I mean, I run Cognito Motorsports here. That's my income. Desert racing is, I'm helping brand my company, Cognito, and then
passion.
I'm having fun, and I'm passionate about it, and I'm proving my product out there as well. And sometimes you go down there, and I'll be honest. Like on Wednesday, we pre-ran, and it was so freaking rough. And I'm just going, what are we doing? Like, this isn't fun. But then you kind of chill and you realize I'm down here for the challenge. It's the challenge, the competition. And then you realize that, and you think about it, and you're like, dude, I'm going to get it. And so you get in the mode of wanting to go get it, and then you go get it. And those instances when you hit the finish line and you get a first place, I mean, you just feel the emotions start coming, you know what I mean?
Dude, 100%. I love that, dude. I always tell everybody it's about your perspective, not your your program, right? It's about having that vision. So I love to hear you say that. All right, well, we're going to wind down the interview a little bit. We only got a couple minutes left. So what was your favorite part about the whole week that you were down there?
Dude, obviously winning. I mean, because we go race to win. Just to get out of the normal grind, get down to Baja. I mean, as rough as it is and as challenging as it is and hard on the body and you're always worried about, you know, keeping your equipment safe, your people safe and all that. Just getting down there, getting through it and getting back home safe is probably the best part on top of winning the damn race, especially after having some issues like that.
Dude, 100%. And the tacos. Yeah, like we just got a comment coming in. I did want to give you a shout out, though, too. We're at IMG Motorsports. I don't know if you can see the picture of James Hill just getting wicked back here, but they use a lot of your guys' products, too. So I'm glad that you guys have that.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm glad that you guys have that partnership. So keep up the good work, obviously, at the business and stuff, as well as doing the racing stuff. So what's next on the schedule? Just the rest of the Score Series? Are you going to do some Best in the Desert stuff, too?
Next race up is going to be the Baja 500, and then we are going to do the Vegas Torino race. We might do that Legacy Baja Nevada race, and then probably UTV World Championships, but we're definitely going to hit the Baja 400 and the Baja 1000 as well this year.
Dude, you got a full plate, man. So that car is just going to get a little bit of love from you guys, and then you're going to get back out there on the race course, I'm sure.
A little bit of love, yeah. A lot of love.
That's cool, man. I love the effort that you guys put into it. So thank you very much, Justin Lambert, for joining us, dude. It was awesome. I didn't get to see you and shake your hand, but it was awesome to see you on the podium, top step, dude. You did an awesome job.
Thanks a bunch.
Thanks, homie. We'll see you at the 500.
Next time.
Yeah, man, it's so cool to see and understand the work that goes into all these people's race programs, especially, you know, Justin's, Rob's. These guys face so much different adversity when they're out there on the course, and are able to overcome it. I mean, just think about riding 270 miles in just insane whoops after after getting that damage from your shocks. Just crazy to me to think, dude. All right, so we're going to have Christian Seropas and Evan Weller join us in just a second here, talk about their race in the new Coors Light spec truck, 6100 truck. So we'll see how they did, and get a little bit of info and behind the scenes on how that truck did. Like I said at the beginning of the show, one of, if not the prettiest trucks on the planet. Jessica, what's up, girl? Brett is more than welcome to join us too, but we're going to talk with Christian and Evan in just a second here when they jump on. That 6100 class is getting so competitive, man. So competitive. Super cool to see. For any of you that don't know, it's a trophy truck spec class. So pretty much a trophy truck with a spec motor. So a little bit less horsepower, maybe half the horsepower, a third of the horsepower. But those trucks rip. Like, they shred, man. And I know that Christian and Evan were really, really looking forward to some good results. Saw AJ Beck over there too, in tech and contingency in that truck. It's cool to see those guys, man. Let's see here. Christian's messaging me. Let's see here. Christian, I will have you join in just a second here. I'm going to get Evan on, and then I'll send a request to you. So let me get Christian and Evan on here. And then we'll start. Evan Weller, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Good. On the freeway.
Oh, right on. Just shredding. Busy guy over here.
Yeah.
Hey.
So, trying to do this.
So, all right. We got Evan Weller on. Now we just got Christian Seropas joining us. What's up, Christian? How are you, buddy?
What's up? I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing good, man. So, let's kick this thing off just straight off the bat. What was the best tacos you guys ate all week?
Ooh, definitely not Pete's Camp.
Those tacos suck?
Oh, no, dude. We just got a little inside joke. Just we went there twice, and I think we averaged more Pete's Camp than we did on the actual race course.
Right on. Yeah, Pete's Camp is a cool little place by the beach for anybody that hasn't been down to San Felipe. All right, so let's get into some of the nuts and bolts of your guys' week, we'll call it. So when did you guys get down there to start pre-running and kind of get everything ready to roll for the race?
We got down there the Sunday before the race. Did about 20 or 30 miles when we got down just to shake the buggy down. And got a pretty good taste pretty early on what the race was going to be like, just an endless amount of whoops. And, pretty much spent the whole week pre-running. We had our lines completely dialed. It was easily the most prepared I think Evan and I had ever been before a race. We had, our hot lines, we had our backup lines, we had race course, and we had pretty much everything we needed, Mark, and it paid off, but obviously not in the end, something we couldn't control. So, but yeah, just the whole week was, so liberating. I love being down in Baja. It does a great thing of getting your mind off things and just fully focusing on the race and just being down there with the people is just so awesome.
Yeah, it really is. And to have the vibe, like Rob Matt kind of talked about it when we had him on just a few minutes ago, and to kind of have the normalcy back, right, to have everything on the Malecon and see all the fans and stuff. I mean, like, even on tech and contingency day and race day, I mean, there was probably, I don't even know how many tens of thousands of fans down there, right? So, like, that whole vibe makes it so much more energy for the racers when you guys get in your vehicles.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize how many people were there until race day when we were on Zoo Road. That was pretty insane. Just seeing the waves of people just standing in front of the truck. Thinking they're going to move, like having full trust that they're going to move. And then when you're about, 20 yards away, they move away from the truck. But you have to go in with the mindset, like, with the trust that the fans aren't just going to get plowed by it. So
it's crazy, right? We see all those videos. How fast do you guys think you guys were going down Zoo Road in the 6100 class?
Not as fast as we wanted to.
Different with the spec truck than the trophy truck is the trophy truck, you kind of can get ahead of steam and kind of modulate that head of steam, where a 6100 truck, you got to be fully committed the whole time. And if you just, you know, if your truck bounces out of, you know, a rhythm, it could really kill you for a couple miles. And unfortunately, we still got to do some more shock tuning on our truck, because that happened a couple times. We couldn't even really get a good rhythm through the road. And to answer your question directly, I don't think I saw over 80.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's gnarly to go through there anyways. All right, let's go back and reverse this a little bit then. So, Evan, you prepped the new Coors Light truck. One of, Christian, I got to say, one of the coolest trucks that I have ever seen in my life, not to mention, like, this day and age, to see that legendary or legacy truck come back. Like, so, Evan, when you're getting ready for the race, you got to make sure every nut and bolt is checked and every single piece is checked. Then you get out there and you're working for a week and you guys are pre-running, you guys are getting the truck ready. Like, what's the, I don't know, behind the scenes, right? Because I don't know how that works. Like, what are you guys thinking? What are you guys doing before the race?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, the truck, it was brand new going into this race, so it was already on a fresh prep, and Herps does a great job putting the truck together, and the thing was immaculate. So it was pretty cool because we got to go and really spend some decent time shock tuning and getting it within a ballpark to go race. Because generally speaking, these trucks all have kings on them. So Christian's truck has a Fox package, and it was cool to go out with Mike Kim and just kind of get through the first phases of getting the car set up and able to be competitive. And out of the box, it works great, but I mean, there's always room for improvement. And there's a lot of things that we felt in the race and we're like, wow, we can improve on that, or, oh, we should fix that, or we should make it work better here when the truck gets to this point of fuel level. But realistically, the truck was ready to go. We just had to do some gear stuff to it and put some miles testing. What did we do, like 200 miles testing before we even went down to Baja?
Probably. That sounds about right.
Yeah, Tracy from Traco just said that you guys were ripping in the Coors Light truck through race mile 135. So, but those are the things that I think Evan is talking about. Christian, you can tell me more, is that those are all the detail portions that get you to the top step of the podium, right? Because every single time you go out there and test, you get a little bit better, 1% here, 1% there, and it equals out to be quite a bit in the seat of your pants.
Absolutely. It's kind of the saying goes, process determines outcome. And there's so many factors that determine, you know, what makes you successful, not only in off-road, but really any endeavor. There's really no replacement for time. The more time and doing it, whether it's actually physically behind the wheel, or, you know, Evan just being in the shop, getting to know the truck, or our guys being down there, getting familiar, knowing like what they need to do on race day, like where the access roads are, et cetera. That's where you really see, you know, the same. There's really no accident when you see the guys that are successful long-term in Baja, whether it's Menzies or even down in the ATVs, Matlocks. They know their way around Mexico pretty well. And it's definitely, you don't win by accident. Very rarely do you accident.
I agree 100%. And then, so let's talk a little bit more specifically about your guys' race, and then we'll get into some more lighthearted stuff like tacos. But so your guys' race, the truck was doing really well, and you guys were super impressed with it from what I understood. But you did have some issues. So maybe go through the goods and then the bads.
Yeah, so our week started out with a mediocre at best qualifying run. Evan and I thought we had a pretty decent run. We didn't get a wheel off. We hit all of our lines. We went relatively fast. But then when the official results came out, we were P9. So that was a little bit of a punch to the ego a little bit. But we had a perfect truck after qualifying. Didn't have fenders or bedsides or any body panels were ripped off. All we had to do is really change the rear gear, and that was it. And we were ready to go for race day. And we knew that we didn't want to qualify like in the first like one or two spots. So we weren't really that bummed. We didn't qualify full, because we kind of like to be the hunters versus the hunted, especially down in San Felipe, where lines is incredibly important. And Evan and I believed all week that we had, you know, the far superior lines just based off the time that we spent. Guys like McNeil, I know, probably had some pretty good lines. Following Pavorti for a little bit, Pavorti had some pretty good lines. But we trusted our process. The Concrete Motorsports guys, especially Brent, were really helpful down there getting us dialed for race day. And our whole plan for the first half of the race is, hey, we're going to we're not going to get a wheel off. We're not going to have a mechanical. We're just going to keep driving. We're going to run about 90%, 95% if we can see, and just pick off guys on good lines and not get frustrated if somebody passes us, or just kind of let the race come to us in a sense. By mile 45, we were already fifth on the road. So we'd already picked off four guys. And then we had Coleman right in front of us and right after mile 45 when we got our first time split. And he went out on a fancy line to the right. And Evan and I, you know, had a line kind of close to that area, but we were like, screw it. We're just going to boogie down the race course and just sneak up on a little bit. And flew by Coleman. And we were fourth on the road there. And then when we got onto the lane bed at mile 100, got by Ray Griffith. And so we were third. And then we got by McNeil. So by the time we were in Percival, we were, you know, third on the road physically, and we had all of them on time. So we were in the lead by for a couple minutes, which is exactly what we wanted. It was great information. The whole, literally everything leading up to that week, even pre-running, just, you know, was going our way. And we were just like, it's not going to come this easy. There's no way. The guys in this class are too good of drivers. Like, there's no way it's going to be just a layup. And then right as I was starting to think that, Baja, you know, just gut punched us pretty hard and got our first mystery flat. And luckily,
right then you're probably thinking, God, why did my brain have to jinx us?
Honestly, we run the best tires. We have vintage tires is by far the best combination with KMC wheels. We wouldn't go with any other option. That's for damn sure. And I'm still dumbfounded. We didn't hit anything. Just went flat. Evan and I changed it in 2 minutes. Evan really did most of the work, just supervised. I got back going. We didn't lose any spots, but we knew that we didn't have any pit support from a Zufre wash all the way back around that loop. So we knew for 80 miles we couldn't really get another flat because we'd be in deep, really deep shit. And then once we got into Matomi, we could see Polvorde. We weren't really freaking out. And then we got another mystery flat. We were in Matomi, and Evan's like, hey, we got 17 pounds of tire pressure. And I was like, maybe it's a false reading. We'll just keep going. And then we got to Matomi where there was people. Evan hopped out, and the tire was flat. So
there was a lot of sharp hidden rocks underneath a lot of that sand, though. So you weren't the only one that got flats.
Yeah, the bummer part was we had to go 40 miles with no spares. So it really, you know, went from we're going to try to reel Favorti back in to if we get another flat, it's a DNF, essentially, or we'll just be plowing for the rest of the race, which I'm sure, you know, my dad wouldn't have been a big fan of that. So, we were pretty hard once we got a spare, and we had about 30 miles to go, and we got a split on Favorti. Favorti was 6 minutes ahead of us physically, I think, and he started 2.5 minutes. So we knew we had a really good line at the finish, which I know Pavorti was stuck behind a couple of slower straggler trophy trucks. And we got on that line, you know, just completely digging, hauling major ass, probably the fastest we drove all day. And we ran out of gas.
It was probably because you had to drive on low tires and stuff, and just the whole deal, right? I mean, like, because what I heard was you guys barely ran out of gas.
Yeah, 10 miles from the finish. And the bummer part is since we were on such a good cut line, our pit crew couldn't find us. So we were down for an hour and pretty much killed our day. Went from a guaranteed second, maybe would have snuck in for the win, to 20th. So
yeah. It's sometimes Baja just gets you, though, man. And it's a new truck. So, like, I want to make sure that, Evan, you can probably agree with this. Like, understanding all of the good points that happened during the race and during the week, like, those are all super positives. Like, they almost outweigh the couple negatives, right? Because there was only a couple things that you have to fix. I mean, of course you want to win the race. Of course you want to be on the podium. But there's so many good things that happened. And I'm just getting a lot of positives, honestly.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of positives, but it's a bummer to run out of gas. But the truck worked great. I mean, it didn't skip a beat. I really looking at the truck, we've already torn it down and cleaned it, and there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, all we had to do is put gas in it. We can go test tomorrow. But it's a good-looking truck. It works pretty good out of the box, and it's competitive. That's the cool part about it. And Christian, I don't know if you brought it up, but he hasn't driven spec truck in a long time. So it was cool for him to get back in it and then be pretty much competitive right out of the gate.
Yeah, that's actually a good point to bring up. So, first of all, the truck is insanely good looking. I mean, and I'm not just talking about the stickers. The stickers are super cool. But if anybody gets a chance to go check out this truck at a race or anywhere in Tech and Contingency or whatever it is, you got to check it out. The truck is just an amazing piece of equipment. But how did it feel to get back into a truck, Christian?
You know, luckily my brother and I have been pretty fortunate, me so more than my brother, that I've been able to be behind the wheel of a lot of different vehicles, actually. I got to drive, you know, obviously our Fortin Can-Am a lot, mostly last year, driven the Geyser number 6. I've had the all-wheel drive. I drove Robbie Gordon SST truck at Long Beach. So I think, like, being able to be around so many different kinds of race equipment has allowed me to kind of be more versatile. So I wouldn't really say getting into a spec truck was like riding a bike. I think it would have been a much easier transition to get back into a trophy truck, actually, just because I'm used to that power kind of bailing you out a little bit. Because a spec truck, I mean, you got to drive. It's a workout to drive those things because you got to be on the ragged edge, really, from the green checkered. Where a trophy truck, yeah, you're still running pretty damn hard, but you're not really beating the crap out of the car the whole time. Where, I mean, I'm very surprised that our new spec truck looks as good as it looks after the abuse we put it through, because I mean, we were really running it hard because that's what you got to do to be up front. And that's what's different about the UTV is the UTV. I mean,
yeah, that's kind of what I was going to say. Like, you went from trophy truck to UTV and then back up to spec truck in the short sense of things. Right. So like, you learned a lot about all of those different things. And I feel like it puts you in a really good spot for the spec truck class.
Yeah, but they're like, at the same time though, the UTV's not, you can't translate them. They're too completely. I mean, I don't want to upset the UTV guys, but I mean, you're not driving those things that hard in relativity towards what you got to do to be competitive in spec truck. Just because the UTVs, you know, they don't have, you know, 3 feet of travel in the rear. They don't have, you know, 24, you know, inches of travel in the front. And they're still, you know, a relatively limited class. So, and they're four wheel drive, which, four-wheel drive teaches a lot of bad habits, in my opinion, because when you go front, when you're all you know is a four-wheel drive, and then you go into a two-wheel drive, especially when you have limited horsepower in a spec truck, it's just a totally different driving style. You gotta, you know, really drive super deep into turns with spec trucks, and then, you know, keep the RPMs up so you can, you know, accelerate well out of the turn, and, you know, obviously you have gears for second and third, where UTV, it's just press the paddle and go.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they don't have to belt. So I always have that in the back of my head. Like, what am I going to break on the UTV? Where in the truck, you kind of got to switch on and be like, okay, like, how can I make this thing go as fast as possible without crashing versus how to not break it?
Yeah, totally. And Evan, you've been in a bunch of different vehicles, right? And so to get to be a co-dog in the new spec truck, how was it? Like, what did you think about the performance of the vehicle?
I mean, like I said before, it's really good out of the box. I like the chassis itself. I mean, there's a lot of leg room, which is not common in these things. And you can really stretch out. It's easy to get in and out of to do the tire change. The truck does everything you really want to do, unless it gets low on fuel, which is something we got to figure out. But it just starts to get a little out of shape with the light rear cell. But for the most part, I mean, the truck did everything he wanted it to do. I know the steering is great. The brake package he has is probably the best there is. The Alcons that he has on there. I mean, I've never seen a brake package hold up as good as those things do. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, I mean, everything about it is awesome. The rear gear AJ set up in that puppy, and I didn't see it get above like 205 degrees all day, and we were beating the crap out of it. I mean, it was on and off, on and off, on and off.
Go AJ, really, right?
Yeah, AJ's the man.
So it's got to feel good to understand that. Like, I don't know if you pick up on all that, Christian, or our audience does, but Evan just basically brushed on five little different things, right? But he's got 100 in his mind that he can get better and you know, pick apart. So those things are going to be massive in the future improvement of the program.
Absolutely, too. And honestly, you know, this is really the episode of cliches for me. So if you don't like cliches, I would just stop watching. But it's sort of like, you know, if you don't fail or really like scrutinize things, then you're not learning anything. You're not getting. That's why I think it's kind of a little bit a blessing in disguise, because if we would have won, we probably would have neglected all the other stuff that, you know, we can work on, that some of which, you know, we'll just kind of keep internal and not really say publicly. But you learn a ton from failure, and you can look at it two ways. You can either feel bad for yourself and just be like, oh man, we ran out of gas, like let's just quit on the whole deal and not keep pushing forward. Or we can use it as a learning opportunity to get better, so that when, you know, the racing gods do let us through and get that first win, it won't just be a one hit wonder. It'll be a good position to put us in for long-term success. Yeah. 'Cause that's really what we're doing, right? We're playing the long game here.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what you want to do. Like, you always got to think about the future, right? And so, like, I was just thinking while you were saying that, like, your brother now has a better opportunity when he first gets in. And, like, having amazing guys like Evan on your team to be able to execute on all those different things that you guys are going to do is going to be awesome to see you guys do it in the future. So we got to let you guys go. I really appreciate you guys hanging out with us. But before we let you go, what was the best tacos you had all weekend?
Probably the Baja fried shrimp taco. Fried shrimp case Baja, or the Taco Factory, I don't know whichever one they call it. But yeah.
Where did we go where did we go the night that everyone got down there, Christian? Was that the Baja Mar?
Taco Factory, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I was looking at that place too. I didn't get to go there, but that place looked bomb. So you got a queso taco?
Shrimp.
Dude, I'm so jealous. All right. Well, thanks, boys. I really appreciate it. You guys both, honestly, I wish you guys had done better, stood up on the podium. But honestly, when I saw all the stuff that you guys faced, I think you guys did a fantastic job. So you got to rest your head on your shoulders and keep that momentum moving forward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't the result we wanted, but, you know, we proved to everybody with the brand new truck that's very legal. there's no tricks with that truck. It's just, you know, it just comes down to, you know, we're a great team. We have great people. That's really what it comes down. That's by far the most important thing, is just having, you know, the right people in the right positions to, you know, put me and Evan in the best position to be successful. So I have no doubt that we're going to be front runners for the rest of the year, as long as we keep the team that we have intact. And on to the next one.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us on, George.
All right. Yeah. Thank you guys both very much. Really appreciate it. If you want to see Christian, go to CM Serapis. What's the number after that?
22.
And then Evan Weller Racing on Instagram. So, all right. Thanks, boys. We'll see you guys later.
See you later, man. Thank you.
No problem. All right. So we got, let's see here, Caden Wells and Emma Cornwell going to join us here in just a couple minutes. So we'll let them log on. Want to say hi to Jeff Lothringer. It was good to see you guys at Tech and Contingency too, man. It's really cool to be able to say hi to everybody. Like we were talking before, like having the ability to just have an open, you know, fan fest and stuff like that. It was super cool. It just blows my mind how many people down there in Mexico are so into off-road and stuff. Like, it's just so enjoyable for everybody to see the tens of thousands of people that were down there. So, So whenever you guys want to join Caden and Emma, hop on here and let's get you guys on here. And, we can talk about your guys' race too. Super cool to see how pumped everybody has been. Even if they didn't have the results that they were looking for. What's up, guys? Caden Wells, Emma Cornwell. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Doing awesome, man. I think everybody's still a little bit tired from getting back from the actual San Felipe 250. And you guys had to drive a little bit further, going all the way back up to St. George, Utah.
Yeah, it's like an extra 6 hours, probably.
Dude, how are you guys feeling after a whole, 10 days, a week and a half of being down in San Felipe?
Yeah, It's feeling good.
Yeah. Feels nice to be back in the States, but we've already had Mexican food twice, so.
Are you serious?
A little bit.
Dude, yeah. When I had the chance to go to Chick-fil-A, I was like, yes, I'm doing it. all right, so let's talk about a few things. I want to talk about how your guys' race was. I know that your dad had mentioned to me, Caden, that you guys did 1,600 miles or maybe even a little bit more of pre-running. That's insane.
Yeah, it was. I think that it helps a lot, a ton down there, especially with where you can find your own lines and everything.
Yeah, so maybe you could spread a little bit more knowledge to us. Like somebody like me, I only got to pre-run a little bit. I got to see the course from the air in a helicopter. To me, it looks like it would get confusing to be able to pick your own lines. Like there's zero way that you could take every single line on course unless you had like 3 months to pre-run it, right? But how do you? What's the best way to go about a pre-run?
Yeah.
So we run two pre-runners, and we'll run a line, like, say, day one. I think we almost went, like, five laps. And day one, we'll drive a pre-runner on each line, and one on race course, one on, like, the first line. And then whoever pops out faster, then we mark that line. And then the next day, we'll take, like, the good line and a different line, and we get a lot more lines marked that way. And if it's totally slower, like in the dust or whatever, we'll put like a stop sign or something on that line. So we'll for sure take the faster one. But if it's close, we'll leave it open. So if someone's in front, we'll just take the other line.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because then you can really get an understanding of the track. Like we always did it in motocross, right? The more you practice and whenever you practice, you don't take the same line the next lap and you get a good feel for exactly what is happening out on course. So it's cool that you guys do that. When you're pre-running, Emma, like what's the job for you as a co-driver?
I'm pretty much like putting down little symbols and notes to myself of like when to call things or what to call them. And I'm constantly asking him like, what would you say this turn is, or how do you want this called? Or like keywords kind of to like, so that we're on the same page of what the reminder is when we're coming up to it. So we've both seen it. So it's almost like we can talk about it, the race, and know exactly what the other person's thinking.
Yeah, totally. Jake Hendricks just said to Caden's being humble that there's no practice needed. And I could actually vouch for that a little bit. I know he did a lot of work, but Emma, when I saw you guys in the helicopter, we got a little bit of video when you guys were, I don't know, kind of like 3/4 of the way through the race. And dude, you guys had already faced some issues. But when I saw this dude, like the freaking way he was doing the car and hitting lines and getting on the crown, on the edges of the ruts and like just pushing the car to like full tilt, I can totally agree with what he's saying there. Like, dude, when you're behind the wheel of a car, it's hard to understand how anybody could beat you. It's freaking amazing to watch you drive.
Thanks.
So I was wondering actually, like, how does it feel inside the car when you're going that fast, Emma?
It's actually surprisingly calm. Like it's not crazy. Like, you know, you get behind a wheel with somebody and you're like, holy smokes, I'm going to die. Like in the car with him, he's so calculated and like can see everything in front of him. And like, it's so smooth. You'd never even know. Like the first time I got in, I'd look down and be like, see a speed and like, oh my gosh, there's no way. Like, it's just, this is impossible. Like, we're just cruising. Like, this is comfortable.
Yeah, totally. And I saw you guys, like, you were just two-wheeling it for a little bit, and, like, you were still hitting the buttons on the GPS. I was like, it must feel smoother than it looks.
Definitely.
That's pretty cool. What was your guys' favorite portion or, like, moment in the whole race? Tell me what your favorite part of the track was. That's a better question. Honestly, I thought like when you guys were going through the canyon, like before we got to see you in the helicopter, like that canyon part looks so sick.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the whole track. I like the little bit rougher races, but
I don't know, man. My back just doesn't do with the rough.
I also like the washes. You're really good on the washes.
Yeah, the washes are pretty cool too.
And what about some of that like single track right there? Yeah, Maddie Wedeking says a dream team. I couldn't agree more. What about some of that like single track stuff where there was only one main line, like actually where we saw you in the helicopters? That looked like a pretty fun section too, because you're kind of going over some ridges and then back down into the valleys and the washes. Like there was a lot of stuff that could offload and upset the car through those sections. It looked fun.
Yeah, that was like the first, because we were pre-running like 8 days or whatever before most people started coming down, and the first couple laps on it, it was pretty, it didn't really flow, and then people cutting in, cutting little corners and stuff everywhere, it started flowing a little better, but then the last 2 days of pre-running, it got it really chewed up, and it was a lot rougher.
Yeah, it, well, but it also had some lines that could hold you in, right, so you could push it a little bit harder. All right, so let's go through some of the little bit, I guess we'll call it negative stuff. Like, what was some of the stuff that you guys had to face or some of the adversity that you had to face during the race?
Well, we overheated like 3 times before race mile 12. You can explain it all better.
Yeah. We overheated at race mile 3. We got out, bled the motor, overheated at like mile 9, got out and bled it again. And the fan was running, and then got out at mile 12, and the fan died, like, right there. And bled it again, and then our chase crew got there and wired the fan solid to the battery or whatever. And the car, anything over about 7,600 RPM, it would start climbing. We got to, like, 210, and we would shut it down. But...
Yeah, it's some of those things just happen, right? Like, those are like, we'll call them electrical gremlins because we don't know really what happened, but like, some of those things just happen. I mean, like, no matter how many miles a car has or whatever, it's just a gnarly, rough endurance race. I mean, there's nothing that you can do except for push through it, and you guys did a phenomenal job at that. When we saw you guys, it was probably 3/4 of the way through the race, so let's just say 200 miles into a 270 mile race, and you guys were still pushing really hard because you wanted to hit the podium, and you did.
Yeah, it was, I think, right when you were videoing, we had just, we were got back in the car, we had a coil wire or injector or something messed up, so we're running on one cylinder, but right then we got it somewhat fixed back. So like, I think when we would turn right, the car would run on one cylinder and then back to two cylinders once it leveled back out. But I think we were just trying to catch back up, pushing pretty hard.
Yeah, totally. So Emma, when you guys are in the car and you guys are, I don't know, facing adversity, or you're seeing, do you see Caden get upset? Do you have to help keep his morale up? Like, what's the vibe inside the car? Or is he just like, you know what, let's go. Tell me where to go. Come on.
No, he's like, surprisingly, like, a lot of guys get really overworked, and like, I feel like that kind of can distract you. He's like super calm, and like, even has conversations like, hey, how are you doing? You doing good? Like, we talk about something. Like, it's like, really, it's fun in the car. I don't know. And that point, it's just like, we're both kind of in the mood to push it, I guess. And yeah, like, I just hunker down and focus at the GPS, because if I look up, I don't know.
Yeah, that's like you guys being in the zone when you can talk about your favorite music or your favorite Italian food dish.
Yeah, we actually have music going too the whole race.
Yeah,
in the helmets.
I can just see it now. So Emma is an ambassador for a drink called Celsius. We know that. And so I can just see it now. She's like, so, Caden, what do you think I should post on Instagram for Celsius this next week? Like, and then Caden's just like, all right, tell me where to go.
I hope not. I don't ever want to be that distracted in the car. I got to do my job. Maybe at the end.
I'm just joking, but it does seem like you guys have a really good vibe, and that's something that really helps a lot in any team sport, when it's especially racing, because you have to be so focused.
Yeah.
Totally.
All right. So what was like the best part of your guys' whole like week? You know, I've heard other people say it was the fans, the vibe, like the track was really cool. I've heard other people say stuff like, no, it was being with family and friends. Like, so what about for you guys?
I think just like the whole thing, it was kind of like a vacation, but also out pre-running every day. We wake up somewhat early, probably leave to pre-run around 7:30, and then we'd be done around 1 or 2, maybe 3, and then from 3 till we went to bed, it was kind of like a vacation, hang out, we'd go get tacos, and then the race is always fun, always a good time, so the whole thing's kind of just like an awesome vacation, but still doing work that's fun.
Yeah, totally. I get that vibe, man. It's just, it's a different thing than being at home and stuff. I know you wish your brother was there too, but so As you guys have been elevating in your racing status and your careers, we'll call it, like, do you see that more fans are coming up to you guys and like understanding who you are? And like when you were at the Malecon for Tech and Contingency and seeing all these people, like I saw people walking up to you all the time. It probably feels super cool.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. They're not walking up to me.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. At the 1,000, I had a guy pull out a hero card that Corbin had made, I think in 2017. And this year at the 1,000, he pulled it out and had me sign it.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Dude, that's cool. We got to get Corbin to make you some more hero cards and bring them down to the 500.
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, but I like my point is more like along the lines of like Emma, they are also wanting to see you too. So don't try to get out of that. But when you guys are going down there, like it's different than the first time you went down there, right? Like it's a little bit more professional, like a little bit more work has to go into it. Like the program's getting bigger. So when you get down there, like you got to understand like how to deal with people, how to like move forward with things. Like I just thought it was cool when I saw you guys for the 15 minutes that we saw you guys. It was just cool to me to see like the difference that you guys have since you guys had 3 years ago. Like I loved it.
Yeah,
you want to answer? Hey, Maddie Wedeking just chimed in. Maddie's totally red on your page, Emma. See, I walk up to them to see Emma and Libby.
Love Maddie.
All right, and then Rancho Racing wants to know what Caden's playlist is.
It's every song I have downloaded on shuffle.
300 songs. There's rock. What is it? Yellow Wolf.
Yeah.
Lots of good ones.
Dang, you're going hardcore, dude. You do that new Travis Barker Yellow Wolf one? I think that's like a year old.
I don't know if I think I have it, but I don't know if I have that one downloaded.
Oh, man, we got to get that downloaded for you. I'll share a playlist with you one of these days and see if you can get along with some of the punk rock that I listen to.
All right.
What would you guys listen to if you guys had to listen to music for the whole pre-run?
We were listening to, actually, Corbin has a really good playlist called Bangers, and we listened to that for a long time.
That one's got a lot more. It's like 2,000 songs or something. So it's...
Whoa, are you serious? Well, I guess that's fine because you're putting 1,600 miles in and pre-running.
Yeah, I don't know if we listened to one song twice or not.
Dang, dude, a lot of people are coming in. Manny Boyce is Miss Jackson. let's see here, Thrice, Outkast. maybe that should be a question that we ask is what's on everybody's pre-run playlist. Oh, Katy Perry. Was Katy Perry on there?
No.
Yeah. He sings along to that one. Don't let him fool you.
Barry Manilow. Whoa, dude. Getting serious with it now.
I don't know what that one is. Yeah.
He's just messing with you as David Clay. He's just messing with from Racing Tracks. He was, a super old guy, like super deep voice, but anyways, yeah, it would be kind of cool to see what people have on their playlist, right?
Yeah.
Or so, if we like the conjoined playlist of everyone's, that would be fun.
That would be super cool. So everybody could hit it up, download it.
Yeah.
All right. So another question that I thought would be kind of fun is, you got the chase trucks following you around while you're doing your pre-running, or you got your own ice chest in your pre-runner. What do you guys usually pack in that bad boy?
Celsius.
I set myself up for that one. Okay, got it.
It's Celsius, water, body armor.
Oh, Libby makes this dank chicken salad sandwich.
Ooh, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
What about like snacks? Like we found Blake Wilkie's a big fan of Nutter Butters, and our crew had Nutter Butters. We had Pringles, we had cheese dip, we had salami, all that good stuff.
I just say the
fish, gummy bears.
Yeah, we had that like a peanut butter granola bar thing that was pretty good.
Dang,
nothing like I don't know.
Easy.
Emma likes Oreos.
Big Oreo girl in Celsius over there. Let's see here. All right. So your brother Union Grafico said, make a playlist public that anyone can add to and have other drivers. Oh, I think it's a dangerous recipe, though, dude, if you have everybody add to it. Libby always makes sure nobody starves Coca-Cola for Papa Risk. Yep, see? Yeah, so I don't know what Lisa Joe said. Those chicken salad sandwiches are bomb.
They are. They really are.
Dang, we get so many comments come in. We got to do a show just on playlists and food. So when we were talking about like going down course and like having all that fun, when you're going through all those things and you're fighting gremlins and you're seeing all of these things like happen during the race, does it mean that it changes your morale and your stress level inside the car? Or you guys, you said that he's pretty chill, but do you see a difference like in the beginning of the race to the end of the race, Emma?
I would say it's just more like determined to make it work or to like push to get back into a podium spot, but mostly first place. You know, it's not ever like anger or overreactions. It's just working harder.
Yeah, totally. So there's still the focus just still as the baseline, right? Caden McCachran is going to join us a little bit later today, but he said you guys should have a Caden and Caden race team. So maybe when you have to split the driving duties, that's a good option for you, huh?
Yeah, that would probably be pretty sweet.
Yeah, we know you guys can both take care of cars really well. So, yeah, man, I was just really glad to see you guys do so well. We're going to have Wayne Matlock come on in just a second, so we're going to have to let you guys go. Throw a shout-out to the people that helped you out, and then we'll let you guys hit the road.
Our chase crew, we had quite a big chase crew, but they did awesome the whole race. We needed them quite a bit. Polaris, Baja Designs, Method Race Wheels, Tenter Kiter. Emma, she did awesome. She always does awesome.
And Celsius, clearly.
Celsius, yeah.
Hashtag need sponsor. No, but that's cool. I'm glad that you guys have all those people that support you. I know that all of the people that do support you are very impressed by the program that you guys are running and that you guys are moving forward with, because you guys have a lot of success. I mean, even with all the adversity that you guys face, you still kept a smile on your faces. You kept working forward to your end goal, and you actually reached the podium. That's like phenomenal, dude. So you got to be proud of your guys' results and look forward to the next race.
Yeah, I think our next one's Silver State, and we already have the car torn down and going back together for that one. So
the amount of work that you guys put in never ceases to amaze me. So, all right, well, thank you guys for joining. We really appreciate it. You guys are kicking butt, so keep doing it.
All right, thanks,
George.
Yeah. Bye, guys. Man, it is so cool to see the youngsters giving so much effort into their programs. Like, it like hits me in the heart that they're doing so well. So yeah, kudos to them for being so prepared and I don't even know how to say it, just ready to go with their programs. So keep kicking butt to Caden and Emma and the whole Risk Racing team. They got a really good support mechanism. We're going to get Wayne Matlock on here in just a sec, and then we have Caden Mack is going to join us in a little bit here. So let's get Wayne on, talk to him. He was the overall UTV winner on time and won the Pro Open class. So it'll be interesting to see and talk with him about his race. Wayne Matlock, what's up?
Hello.
How are you doing, bud?
Good. How are you?
First and foremost, I saw you on the podium after the races, but congratulations, dude. You had a phenomenal run in the new Polaris Pro R.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. It's been a fun program to be involved with.
Yeah, totally. And making sure that that program elevates and moves forward and stuff like that, it's nothing to, I don't know what you want to call it, shy away from, because it's a lot of hard work when it's a new program like that. So kudos to you for doing so well in the races that you've already participated in. But it had to feel good to get out there and, man, you were fast on the course and, you know, come home with a win.
Yeah, it felt good to come home with that overall win out there. It's been hunting for that one for a couple of years now. It's been, I think, since 2019, San Felipe 250, since I've won a race.
Oh, so really?
It felt really good, yeah.
Man, I didn't think it was that long, but dude, so that's got to be good to get that monkey off your back.
Yeah, we've been in line, and it's just had some things happen that took us out at the end of some of the races, and this one we got close to happening again, but we were able to pull it off.
Man, so we got to see you guys out on course a couple times when we were pre-running and stuff, but let's give the audience a little bit of an understanding. We talked to some of the teams, or most of the teams that we've had on, like Rob Mack and all of these different guys, and they're just saying that pre-running is coming becoming more and more not just prominent, but a logistical portion of the event. Like it's like that's almost more important than the race day, right?
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's been kind of funny seeing the UTV, the progression of the UTVs down there. When I first started racing UTVs, there wasn't barely anybody pre-running.
Yeah.
And I came from racing on quads and dirt bikes where we spent, you know, weeks down there pre-running. So bringing that into the UTVs, you know, a lot of people at the beginning are like, ah, you don't need to do that. Not necessary. And now you see these teams all have picked it up. Anybody that wants to go fast, they're down there pre-running. It's hard, especially in a race like San Felipe. You know, San Felipe 250, trying to nail all the lines just perfectly. And every day there's new lines that pop up.
Yeah.
So it's and it's a good time to test your equipment, test your program.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And so I started out the week when we were out there, when we saw you a bunch pre-running, we were in chase trucks or I was in a car and kind of got to check some stuff out. And being on course, you don't see the same things that you can see in the air. And I got the opportunity to be in a helicopter. And when I was in a helicopter, I could totally see the things that you're talking about because there's not just one or two lines. Like in an enthusiast market, like we know going on trails, you'd be like, oh, we can go on this trail and we can climb up this road. Well, in San Felipe, there's 15 lines all the way across any given part of the desert, right? And then there's some spots where there's only one line. So when you're talking about pre-running and you would have to put in thousands of miles to be able to really get a good job pre-running done. So what is like, what does a Wayne Matluck or a Kristen Matluck try to understand when they're doing that? You don't have to give away any secrets, but like make sure that you can give a little bit of a baseline to some of our audience to understand how much work you have to put in when you're pre-running.
Yeah. You know, there's no big secret to it. It's just a lot of hard work. You know, you got to go down there, put the time in, have your pre-running equipment be able to hold up to it. You know, we pre-ran, I think, about 800 miles on this race course. So put a lot of time in. And, you know, people think that these lines are some big mystery where you're way off the course and you're taking this freeway of a line. Well, in reality, more times than not, you're 15 feet to the right or 15 feet to the left. And it's like you said, there could be 15 different lines going down through the San Juan section. The secret is that one line is not going to be perfect the whole time.
Right.
So you have to tie this line into line number 7, into line number 3, then switch back over to line 13. And you have to know exactly where to cross them up at and get that timing down perfectly.
Yeah.
It's like trying to do a maze at high speed. And what not to do, right?
Yeah. Like if you miss it and you get stuck in a really bad line, that's even worse.
It is worse. And it happened to us a couple of times. We got score kind of messed up the starting order for this race. So the guys in the open UTV class, I think we started 58 cars behind Lambert and the turbo class. So the lines were plugged up. So we had alternates for the lines and then alternates for those that were less desirable. And several times I'm finding myself taking my third option that was barely
it says we lost a little bit of audio with Wayne, so
there we go. Is it back?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. We had a comment come in that says, that's why I like racing in the States courses. They aren't so beat. No one has an advantage because they race 69 times there. Yeah. You know what, though? I don't know if I agree with that statement, Robert. I actually think that it offers more adversity or diversity on the course because you can have so many different lines. So coming from motocross and Wayne came from, you know, quads in the desert and stuff, like – having that motocross background, I would love to have more lines, right? Like the more lines.
Well, exactly. Well, picture it like a motocross track. You know, a wide motocross course is similar to like what you're dealing with in Baja.
Right.
You have different line choices. You could take different combinations of jumps, stuff like that. Racing in the States, like that comment was, everyone's following the same graded dirt road.
Right.
And you're playing follow the leader. Nothing against the races in the States. They all have their purpose in this sport. There's no one that has a bigger advantage or disadvantage in Baja. It's just how much time you want to put in. Right. Look at Justin Lambert. It's his second time down here racing San Felipe 250, and he won the Pro Turbo class.
Yeah, totally. It's, and yeah, I can definitely agree with you there.
Like, for everyone.
Yeah, 100%. And I can agree with you on what your comment was, too. Like, the races in the United States are super badass, but it's just different, right? So that's all it is.
It's way different.
Supercross. You know, it's, Supercross, motocross.
Vegas Torino is a different race than San Felipe 250.
Yep.
You know, it's just like Le Mans is a different race than Daytona. It's completely different. It's they both have their purpose in our sport.
Hey, so let's talk about different a little bit now. So we now have, I think five different UTV classes, but we'll do the top three of them. We have the Pro Turbo class, which is has been the most competitive class for years now. We have the Pro NA class, and then we also have now the Pro Open class, and that's the class that you've joined. That's the class that I chased for this weekend with Scanlan Motorsports Group, and you're driving the Pro R now. So those changes are really a lot in your program. Like, you've seen every single change pretty much in the past 6 months. So how's it going?
It's going really well. You know, the car is very robust, very fast. Suspension works really well. Like any new program, a new car, it's trial by fire. So we're finding problems out as we go. And you know, it's like, oh, shoot, didn't know that was going to happen. You know, it's we're using a majority of stock parts on this car. Like, all of our suspension, we now have upper radius rods that we use on the car just for durability purposes. Our pre-runners still run stock ones, but that is the only modified suspension part we have on that car. We run stock arms, stock ball joints, stock tie rods, trailing arms, axles, CVs. All that stuff is all stock.
Yeah,
so
I'm a big fan.
It's been holding up really well.
I'm a big fan of that stock components and stuff like that. Let's see here.
Yeah.
The guys over at Monster Seal said, Wayne, why did Score have you start behind the other UTVs? Do you mind if I take a stab at this and you can tell me if I'm right?
Go ahead.
So I think what they're trying to do, Monster Seal, is I think that they're trying to figure out where they belong. Once they understand the speeds that they're going to be going and how they perform on course, they'll put them accordingly in the lineup so that they can be a little bit more fair or however you want to understand it. But they need to make sure that all of the drivers have the same ability to not get caught up, right? And depending on the number of people that are in certain classes, like, there's a bunch of different variables. But I don't think that it was a massive deterrent to Wayne doing what he did. He still had to work his ass off to get to the front, and I think it was good for them to position the way that they did at this particular race.
Yes, what you're saying is 100% true. In Score, you kind of have to earn your starting position, so to say. So in the past, the Unlimited class hasn't done as good as the Turbo class or the Natural Aspirated class. That's why we had to start behind.
Right.
This race, we were supposed to start right behind the NA class, right behind the Pro 1000 class. Instead, Score had a little hiccup, and they started the 1600 cars, the 7S trucks, the 15, or the, what was it, the 516 Bugs in front of us. They started everyone in front of us, and it wasn't supposed to be that way on the website. Even they know, you know, at the finish line, they apologize, but it is what it is. We'll get it figured out, and made us a little meaner off the start.
Yeah, I can say, like, but that's this type of stuff that happens. I mean, and the organization did a fantastic job with the whole event. So you gotta, you know, you gotta take it. It is what it is in some cases.
Things happen, you know, and they're trying to herd cats there at the starting line, and you know, we filed in and got the job done. It was a lot of people to come through, a lot of traffic, passing the slower cars and stuff like that, as far as like the Bugs and the 1600 cars and stuff like that. But luckily it was a race like San Felipe, and there's multiple line choices, and we were able to get by a lot of people.
Okay, so we had a comment come in from Caden Mack that said all he knows is that you blew his doors off around race mile 135, and he, you know, with a laughing emoji. But let's take that to the next actual statement or question. So we actually got the opportunity to chase you a little bit while you were coming through. I was probably mid-race somewhere, maybe race mile 80 to 100 or something. But yeah, we got to see the car performing. And honestly, man, I was impressed to see it performing so well compared to what I have seen in the past. And I'm not a hater on the Pro R. I love the machine. But I like to see the progress. And you're the one making a lot of progress because you've been driving it for a little while. So how has it been feeling lately when you're getting to operate that vehicle on the race course?
When it's on, it's on. You know, the thing with this vehicle is it's so capable that we're able to push the speeds so much higher than we've ever pushed our speeds before that we run into little things like the shocks got really hot. And that's going to happen. You know, trophy trucks went through that about 8 to 10 years ago. They were melting the shocks off the back of the trophy trucks because they picked up the speed so much. And, you know, like I was talking to Justin Lambert earlier this morning and coming up Zoo Road, he said he was doing about 52 miles an hour and I was doing about 82 miles an hour.
Holy smokes.
The shocks got really hot and I regretted doing 82 miles an hour because things just kind of faded out and we had to take it easy towards the end and just get the car to the finish line. But we're doing things to make that go away and we'll be working with Fox, getting things tuned in and getting the temperatures down on this car.
Yeah, and that's the development of any type of new vehicle and new program. Like, all of this trickles down to better stuff for the end consumer, right? So it's awesome. It's awesome to be able to see that and understand it. Like, I would have never, ever even thought that happened. You obviously experienced it, and you're showing that we can fix those things.
Oh, yeah. You know, we've had some issues come up here and there, but majority of them are just, you know, simplistic things like, oh, shoot, we didn't know that. We didn't know this. But
what's your favorite part about the car?
Driving it.
Dude, they sound so badass.
It is just so much fun to drive. The way the car handles and the motor and suspension, like, you know, pre-running, I was doing 95 to 100 miles an hour down the lake bed and not even a care in the world about belt temperatures. Did the same thing in the race.
Yeah.
I saw 101 on the race car on the lake bed and let off the throttle. It was like, there's no need to push it. So it's just so capable of a car and so much fun to drive.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have, you know, the limitations that we've had in the past. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I actually heard, unfortunately didn't get to see any of it, but I heard that you guys were able to pass some of the bigger trucks and you guys were putting some serious speed together. So I'm really interested to see the progression of the platform in the next, I don't know, let's just say 6 to 8 months. You know, by the end of the year, you guys will have most of this stuff dialed, so it'll be pretty sick to see how they do at the – well, and you already have a baseline for the Baja 1000 last year, so to see how you do this year is going to be really cool.
Oh, it's going to be night and day difference. You know, this year our goal was to finish with that car, you know, brand new car. We literally, we raced it with stock valving in the shocks. It was bone stock and had no time in that car. So San Felipe, you know, we went to King of the Hammers after that and did really well. We got second overall. Mitchie won that race and he kicked butt in that Pro R. He did really well. We were able to hang on for a second. And then went to the Mint and had some mechanical gremlins, got those figured out, went to San Felipe 3 weeks later, ended up taking the overall. So now we definitely know what we have to work on this car, and it's going to make it that much better than 500.
It's so cool to see the progression, though, and what you just explained is what I'm seeing visually, you know what I mean? So yes. I know that a lot of people that are watching have seen the same thing as I have. Let's change the subject a little bit, though. You guys were down there for 10 or plus days. How was it? Like, what was the vibe down there having everybody come back and all the tens of thousands of people on the Malecon, like all of these fun things? And then to follow that, what was your favorite part?
Oh, shoot. It was awesome to see everyone down there and seeing a bunch of people pre-running, seeing, you know, all the restaurants and taco shops and bars and stuff like that full of people.
Yep.
You know, the Malecon on race day is... it's hard to describe. I mean, you got to see it. You know, the Malecon or the contingency at other races are cool. This one is just awesome. This one's unbelievable. Just the whole vibe you get from San Felipe being on the beach. It doesn't get much better than that. And, you know, my favorite part is San Felipe 250 has always been my favorite race.
Yep.
And this year didn't disappoint. It's fun. It's rough. You have to do your homework and get your lines nailed down. And it's also like the first Baja race of the season. So everyone's down there. Everyone's excited. And it's just a fun vibe.
And you got to spend so much time with your family. Hey, how many thousands of stickers did you give away? Because, dude, it was insane.
Yeah. Yeah, we lots of stickers. We would drive out of the way sometimes. You see kids off to the side, you know, playing in a park or playing at school. You just drive down the side road and park. And then as soon as you pull out stickers, the kids just start swarming and running over, and it's awesome to see.
Dude, the smiles.
It's so much fun putting a smile on their faces.
Dude, I couldn't agree more. And that was one of my favorite parts, though, too. So, and it was cool to see you and your family down there just having a good time. So, hey, congratulations again, dude. You really crushed it this time, and we can't wait to see what comes for the rest of the year.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
All right, throw a shout-out to your sponsors, and please tell the kids and the family that are in Kristen that we said hello.
Will do. You know, our biggest supporters, Polaris Razor, Yokohama Tires, Fox Shocks, Vision Wheels, Rugged Radios. There's a bunch that make this program go around. And more than that, it's our whole crew.
Yeah.
Are down there. You know, we have people down there for a whole 10 days that we're down there volunteering, helping out. You know, like you guys were with Craig. It takes a big effort to make a program like this work, and couldn't do it without everyone.
Yeah, totally.
In.
Well, like I said, man, you kick butt. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We'll see you later, Wayne. Take it easy.
See ya.
So we're going to get Caden Mack on here in just a second. It was super cool to see. And the vibes at the finish line were so cool, man. Everybody was congratulating each other, taking pictures, handing out more stickers, maybe having a couple beers, refreshments. It was so cool. I don't even know how to explain the vibe, how awesome it was. It was just one of the raddest things that I've seen, because everybody was able to come back together and just have a good time. So we're going to get Caden McCachran on here, and then we're going to wind down the show. Caden did a fantastic job as well. He drove with the guys over at Jagged X. So, Caden Mack, what's up, buddy?
Hi, George. How are you?
Doing awesome, man. It was good to see you guys last week. You were putting in some serious work with Pops on the pre-running.
Of course. That's always the plan when we go down to Mexico. You know, Wayne put it best, you know, pre-running is what wins the race. The preparation before the race is ultimately what ends up winning you the race. So, yeah, always doing that pre-running down south.
Hey, so since you're newer than your dad to pre-running, like, I'm not a pre-running master, but, like, if you were going to give me one single tip to go down there when I'm pre-running, like, let's just say it's my first race down in Mexico for the Baja 500, what tip would you give me when I'm pre-running? Would you say something like, take it slow, pay attention? Like, what are you going to tell me?
Yeah, all those things. One, make sure, you know, your stuff, your pre-run or whatever you decide to pre-run in is 100% ready to go down south.
And has a first aid kit.
Yeah, you don't want to be stranded down there. And then number two would be a quality over quantity. You know, a lot of people want to go down there and I'm going to do 10,000 miles and, you know, do all these lines. A lot of times if you just sit back and, you know, really understand which line is better and think about it, you'll have a better opportunity to win. So yeah, quality is number one to me.
Yeah, I think that's a really good statement to make too, because I've seen guys that go down there pre-running and they just go full mat, like they're just hauling ass around the whole thing, and it's like, why?
Yeah, even San Felipe this year, it's like we had some like spec trucks act like they were like racing us, and we're in a stock Razor, you know, just cruising through the whoops, and you know, had some people come up and I almost felt like they were gonna nerf us or something, but it's definitely quality over quantity down south.
Yeah, it's like a waste of time if you're going that fast. Yeah, and hey, your comment to Caden Wells, I think that would be a good Caden dream team. That would be pretty rad to see you guys team up one of these times. But
all of the whole wrist racing team and Caden Wells and Corbin, I like a lot of their stuff, and you know, they do things right. Yeah, if it ever happens, I'd love to partner with them. But, you know, ultimately, I'd like to race on my own.
Yeah, totally. I agree with that 100%. But you did get the opportunity to go along with Jagged X again. You've raced with them, I think, what, twice, three times now?
We started San Felipe last year, which we won, thankfully. And then we were in the rest of the score season. So there's four races last year. So this is my fifth race or sixth race, because I did the Mint Flaner last year with them. And yeah, we've definitely built a relationship and a bond. We understand each other, and that helps a lot. And trying to do well at these races is knowing each other and how each other, you know, work. So, it's always great to be out there with them.
Yeah, totally. And it's cool to see you get the opportunity to be able to do that. Like, what place did you guys end up crossing the finish line in? Do you remember?
We had a slew of issues, and I think we were eighth on UTV Turbo, but, without those issues, I'm sure we would have done quite a bit better.
Yeah, so we got to see you a little bit out on course, and it looked like a couple of times you guys did have issues, but it looked like for the most part you kept just trucking along and making sure that you got that thing across the finish line, dude. And that's no easy feat. Like, I don't know how to say it, like, or how to explain it just in a visual context, like what we're doing right now. I wish that people could understand how tough it is to get across the finish line in one of these races.
Yeah. I'm not sure when the Jagged X team started racing in Mexico, but I know it's probably more than 5 years ago for sure. And they have zero DNFs in Mexico. And that's something that's really not easy to do. And,
at all,
have their stuff set up. So if anything happens on course, they'll get to us quick, and they have full on chase trucks, ready to come do some reconnaissance and save us in the desert. Luckily, most of the small issues that we've had have been small, and we're able to limp it into the pits and get it changed real quick. But unfortunately, yeah, it's those little issues that take us out of the wind. And nowadays, the UTV Turbo class is so competitive. Everybody's going so fast. If you have, you know, one or two issues, you're out.
Yeah, dude, everybody's full tilt, right? Yeah, and when you talk about that, that's got to be, like, refreshing or give confidence to you as a driver, knowing that you have backup wherever you need it, right? Like, if you have an issue, you know it's going to get fixed as quickly as possible. So that's actually pretty meaningful in itself.
Yeah, of course. We have two chase trucks down there south for the San Felipe race. And, man, I saw it. You know, every time you come to whatever the highway section or anywhere close to the race course, it's close to the highway, you see those guys. And sometimes you're shocked that they're able to make it from place to place. But they're definitely out there supporting all those guys. They're in for hard work and devoted to the team, making sure that car gets to the finish line.
Yeah, totally. And so you pre-ran with your dad pretty much – I guess the whole week leading up to it, right? I don't know. Did you put in as many miles as Caden Wells did? He said it was something like 1,600 miles that they did on that course.
No, I think our end total was like 950 or something. But
good God,
maybe on like day two or three, we looked at the odometer on the Razor, or the trip set on the Razor. It said like maybe 450 or 500 miles, and we'd only done one full lap of the course, which is 277 miles. So that just shows you like how many times you're, you know, going down different lines in the washes and making miles. So that was pretty eye-opening to me, knowing that we put that many miles in with only doing one lap of the course.
Yeah, that's super cool though, man. You got to feel good at the end of the day, even though you're so tired. You got to feel good that you're going to eat tacos, and you got to feel good that you put in all your work, right?
Yeah, during pre-running for me, my dad in the trophy truck class, pre-running is about time and not totally about making up positions because it's so hard to pass.
Yeah.
For me, you know, we started 13th, and last year we started 29th, and we were second on the road at mile 60. So pre-running is definitely, you know, important to be able to get around people. And Wayne said it again best that, you know, you find the really good line, but you need to take time and find that second and third best line. Because yep. Nowadays, you know, three quarters of that pro turbo class is out there pre-running all week, and they know where to go. So you got to know where to go to get around them. And luckily that paid off pretty well. Sometimes I'd wish that we had a different line, but it worked out for the most part.
Yeah, totally. And the amount of people that you guys had to move through and everybody else had to, whether it was a slower vehicle, whether you were actually passing for position, like there was so many cars out on course. There was like, at least maybe towards the end of the race, after all the carnage that happened out there, like it kind of freed up a little bit. But dude, there was almost somebody every single half mile.
Oh yeah. So yeah, off the start, we start in 30-second intervals. So there's, you know, 20 something people in, you know, 12 or 13 minutes. For UTV Turbo, at least. So, yeah, you go off the course, and within the, you know, first 2 miles, you're in somebody's dust. This race, I think we started 13th, and at mile 30, I think we were fourth or fifth on the road. We had a little issues right after that set us back. But, yeah, that pre-running is super important.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And so how does it work, like, when you're pre-running? So you're pre-running with your dad, and your dad's going to race in the trophy truck class. You got the opportunity to race with the Jagged X guys. Do you learn a lot by what he's telling you, or do you have to gauge it in a different way because you're going to be riding in a different vehicle or driving in a different vehicle for the race? Because it kind of seems like two opposite things almost.
Yeah, it's 100% different because in the Razor, you kind of want to try to find the smooth lines, even if they're longer. And in the trophy truck, you basically want to draw, you know, point to point to VCP.
Right.
That doesn't know how big the whoop is. And the trophy truck's going to go over it at, you know, 70, 80, 90 miles an hour. So it's definitely a lot different pre-running for a Razor. Sometimes I feel bad because I feel like I, you know, I need to go find the good lines, the smooth lines, and he doesn't care. He knows that the straight line's the fastest. So we have to take the time for me and go find the good lines. Sometimes I feel bad about it, but I think he puts up with it pretty well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's kind of cool, right? Because it's a give and take relationship, and he's obviously helping you. You're obviously helping him. So it's pretty cool to see that, man. Like, I love that vibe. And that's kind of where I wanted to go with the next stuff that we were talking about is like, man, the amount of effort that it takes to run these things, the amount of family camaraderie and the amount of coolness behind the whole scenes, like, to me, the whole thing just like brings chills to me thinking about being walking around on the Malecon with knowing you guys and like all of this stuff. So what's like the biggest favorite part of the whole process or race for you?
Sometimes, you know, some people would say pre-running, which pre-running's, again, we're going back to pre-running, but you know, maybe 6 10-hour days of pre-running, which adds up to 60 hours, but the race is only 6 hours. So, yeah, for that question, I'd ultimately have to say the pre-running is the fun part, and the race part is, you know, when the green flag flies, it's, you know, it's all business from then, and you got to put your head down. I enjoy, you know, the whole thing, to be honest, from getting in the car to getting out of the car and giving it over to Brandon Schuler. But, you know, my favorite part are the rough parts.
Yeah.
The perseverance, fixing the car, making passes when it's dusty, taking chances, not taking too many chances, all those things, you know, you got to weigh the opportunity to, you know, the risk you're taking.
Yeah, 100%. And Traco USA said, when did you get in? You started the race?
I started the race and went to mile 137, and Brandon Schuler got in and went to the finish.
Oh, okay, cool. What's up, Mike Emerson, too? Yeah, his VP Race Fuels did a lot this weekend. Not only did they help you guys, but we filled up a helicopter with some all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Justin Lambert, the winner of the UTV Turbo Class, has VP Racing Fuels as well. I believe that's true.
Yeah.
Or at least
Dude, lots of them, man. Scanlan Motorsports Group, everybody. So it's cool to see that he's out there supporting all these fantastic racers, too. So when you were out on course, where did you give up the car?
So I got out of the car at mile 137.
Oh, 137. All right. So what was your favorite part up until mile 137 then? Cause there was some really gnarly sections in that first beginning portion of the race.
Yeah. A little bit. Something what my dad said is you go pre-run at a slow speed and you think it's super rough. Then you get in the race car that's set up for the whoops and you know, you're going 40, 50 miles an hour down the whoops and you don't even care. All of it's fun. Unfortunately, about mile 25 or 30, I nailed a log in the course and I thought I got a flat. So I had Pat Stone, the co-driver, get out, and stupid me, you know, it was hard and I could have guaranteed it was a flat, but thankfully, for BFG tires, it wasn't a flat and he got back in. We lost some position, but thankfully at that point, he had noticed that we torn a CV boot in the left rear axle. So we were able to get it to mile 50 with the axle still in the car. Had the pit crew change it. I think they changed the axle in, you know, just about 5 minutes.
Nice.
From there, we took off down the lake bed, and then going back through the whoops at maybe mile 100. You know, we're hauling through the whoops, and I all of a sudden, it sounds like a trophy truck's passing me on the right. And, you know, 30 seconds later, we realized the header fell off, or, you know, the muffler fell off.
Oh,
and,
dude, really?
Yeah, but super loud, and it lost, you know, 2/3 of its power. So from there on, we never fixed it. It finished the race for mile 100 with no muffler on it. So that really down. Even after that, I think I got out of the car. We were within like 3 minutes or just over 3 minutes of Lambert, the leader, which I was shocked. But I said it in the comments earlier. But Wayne had passed us already at mile 130 just as I got out. So I knew he was doing really good and hopefully winning overall, which he was, and he did. So good for him.
Haley just says, yeah, just a cat delete system on it.
Super loud, and it happened at mile 110, and I was getting out at mile 137, so I had, you know, 27 miles of this, you know, roaring sound in my head, but the co-driver, Pat Stone, he had to go the whole race like that, so I felt bad, and he did say at the finish he had a little bit of a headache, and his ears were ringing, but
I was going to say, dude, that would be so loud, man, but yeah, like, dude, Baja never, ever fails, given that you know, adversity or diversity to people in these racing conditions. So I'm just glad that you guys made it across the finish line. And, you know, to see Amber and your dad standing there with such smiles on their faces after they were watching you cross, dude, like that stuff, just like I said before, like brings chills to me because it's so cool to see. Like, that's my favorite part of any of this racing stuff. Like, you guys getting to the finish line and having everybody be pumped on you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we couldn't pull off the back-to-back San Felipe wins, but, you know, sometimes in desert racing, you have to get back, you know, you win a race and then you get to the back of the line and you got to wait till it's your turn again to go win. And, hopefully at the Valley 500 in June, it's our turn again, which, you know, I have really good, I'm really confident, that we can go win that race, in June. And that's the plan. You know, that's what we're going to do.
Just keep striving for more, dude. Always look for the next one, right? Well, I'm proud of you. I think you did a fantastic job. I'm proud of your dad for doing a fantastic job too. And just to see how hard everybody works is super, super cool, man. Yeah. Throw a shout out to all the people that, that helped you, over the weekend.
First of all, yeah, Jagged X Racing, last year around this time, BFG and I and Jagged X Racing have put a plan together to team up to run the score season. That went very successfully in my opinion last year. And, thankfully, I was invited back this year. So the Jagged X Racing team, everybody that comes down with them, they take, you know, time away from their families, time away from work. They're using their vacation time to come down south and help us try to win these races. BF Goodrich Tires, Fox Shocks, that is San Felipe. Everybody knows how you know, beat up the courses. And with all these new guys pruning in now, it gets super torn up just you know, a couple days before the race. And Fox Shocks, you know, they're super smooth through the whoops. You know, Jagged has some other sponsors, OMF Wheels, Super Strong Wheels, but, you know, everybody that helps us get out there is, you know, big effort from everybody.
Yeah, totally, dude. You guys have a fantastic program, and, with all the different things that have been changing, you know, with your dad's trophy truck program and, you know, you finding rides and excelling in your career for the future, it's just really cool to see, man. Like, I know that you want so much in your racing career, but I know that, like, deep down, you're just doing a good job, dude. You're making right decisions, and you got a good path to follow. So keep doing your due diligence, dude, because you're kicking ass.
Yep. I'm trying to get in every race car I can, and I think from now before the Baja 500, I have two works races and hopefully some, you know, right seat opportunities with Brent Fox and the 6100 in the Best of Desert Legacy Series. So, you know, keep getting my feet wet in the desert and gaining experience, and hopefully we can go smoke all these guys at the 500.
Dude, yeah, that'd be sick, right? Hey, are you racing your RS1 then?
At the 500?
No, for the races that you have coming up, the works races?
Works races, yeah. I'll be back in my Polaris Razor RS1. That car it's the same car I started racing with in 2019. It has, you know, a ton of race wins on it, and it's been really good to me. Super strong car, and I love those cars. Anybody that hasn't gotten a chance to, you know, get in a Halls RS1, they need to try to do it, because they're just like little go-karts, and, you know, they take a beating.
Dude, RS1s are so fun, man. I love those cars. All right, dude, like I said, you kicked ass, man, so keep doing what you're doing, and, yeah, tell your family I said hello, too.
Thank you, George. We'll see you in Baja.
All right, sounds good. Later, buddy.
See ya.
All right, so we have the final task of the night. We are going to give this bad boy away. So we're going to get John Lewis on real quick at Desert Squadron. I'm going to invite him real quick and see if he wants to come join us. Let's see here. And then we can give this bad boy away. So hopefully you guys are watching and hanging out. Whoever wanted to win this bad boy, these things are super cool. So we'll get we'll get John on here. We'll have him explain a little bit about the product, and then you guys can, thanks, dude. Appreciate it, Dusty Summit. John Lewis, what's up, dude? Desert Squadron in the house. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
Good. Let me bring you up on the screen. All right. So before we give this bad boy away, we're going to scroll through the Instagram comments and stuff, but let's tell everybody what this thing is called and what's inside here, and I'll open it up while you describe it.
So this one here is our Liberator Trauma Kit. And what that one is it's kind of a pretty well-rounded kit for just about anybody, but we made sure we included things that were going to be essential for racers and pit crews. So within it, as we go through it here, you'll see.
Yeah, let me preface this by saying I'm a big safety guy. So everything that John is doing to help you guys out and to help the industry out, please, please go. And at least check out his website. If you don't win, go buy some products from him. These things are badass, and they can help literally, quite literally, save lives while you guys are out there on course. If you, even if you're not a racer, you can go out on a trail and stuff, and you can save a whole bunch of lives and really, you know, get somebody fixed up. So, all right, what's in here?
Absolutely. So in that top portion, you've got anything from a splint, you've got rolled gauze, you have stuff in there to help treat a burn. There is a what's called a hemostatic gauze, which actually helps clot the blood if you have a big cut. Down in the bottom portion, you have a basic elastic tourniquet. So hopefully you'll never need that one, but it's there just in case. Everything from your little minor boo-boos, cuts and scrapes, all that stuff. You've got the little kids that run around. It's great for that. So all that stuff's in there. And then up there in the pouch, you've got your elastic band and emergency blankets and tape to kind of hold everything together. And heaven forbid that cute little CPR mask up there. That again, something that you hope you never really need anything in there, but you'll be glad you had it if you did.
Dude, totally. And so all this stuff comes in. What's one of my favorite parts is this is one of your bigger ones, I know, but this is still such a, I don't know what you want to call it, a compact form factor. Like, okay, so look at it compared to the size of my head. I got a big head, but this thing is small. I mean, like this thing, you could easily fit this in a baseball cap, right? Like, so these things would go, they can pretty much be tucked away anywhere in your side by side. Like, John doesn't sponsor the show or anything. I'm just a massive fan of his products. I love the things that he's doing for the industry. So I strongly suggest that you guys go out and support him, but even more so, support the people around you because you can fix them if they really need it. So, all right, you ready to give this bad boy away?
Sure. And actually, just real quick, because I know racers are real big on, you know, weight savings and things like that. These things fully loaded are only 2 pounds. Oh, if you can't afford 2 pounds in your car, you need to look elsewhere to save that weight. So,
yeah, exactly. Maybe shave a couple tacos off your weekly diet. I would.
Man, all them tacos.
All right. So let's see here. So you want to just do it the same way we normally do it? We'll just bring up the comments and I'll spin it and then you can tell me when to stop and we'll pick a winner.
Sure.
All right. So it looks like we got around 50 or so people that that signed up for it. So let's see here. You guys can see. I'm going to the post right here. This is the post where we said go ahead and comment, do all your things. I'm going to click on view all the comments here. Let's see here so I can do it. Can you see me good?
Yep.
All right. So I'm going to scroll all the way down.
Stop.
All the way back up. All right.
Oh, you're going to go all the way down to show them all. Got it.
All right. Let's do it real quick. All right, so I'm not going to look at it. I'm just going to look at the screen, and you tell me when to poke it.
Cool. Go.
All right. PTR Motorsports, where my finger landed. PTR Motorsports. All right, so PTR Motorsports, we're going to reach out to you on Instagram. Congratulations on winning this badass Desert Squadron Trauma Kit. Hey, what did you say it's called again?
So that one is the Liberator.
The Liberator Trauma Kit. All right. And these things have a retail value of how much?
$135.
Okay. But you do have other ones, I guess, then, huh?
We do have a couple other ones right now. Having a little supply chain issues that we're trying to work out and sort out for everybody so that we can get them back in stock. But just know that if you ever see something on the website that says sold out, we are in a number of stores now. I would try and do a little bit of work on promoting those stores through my page as well. So if you happen to see me talking about a store or a shop, if I don't have one, you can, chances are, check those shops.
Yeah.
You might find some there. And also too, if you didn't win, if you follow some of my racers and some of those people that I'm associated with, there's some discount codes out there for you guys. You can save a few bucks too.
There you go.
I won't you generally post those discount codes, so you got to find it for yourself, got to do a little work, but when you find it, That's for a win for everybody.
Yeah, because you got an ambassador program, so you want those ambassadors to win too. So good on you for doing all that, man. Thank you very much for supporting the whole community. PTR Motorsports already commented in. Hell yeah. So congratulations, you guys, for winning this bad boy. I'll get this sent out to you guys. I'm going to put it back in this nice little cellophane case for you guys. Let's see here. So your product is awesome. I saw it in person. Super stoked. So PTR Motorsports is pumped on it, dude.
Heck yeah. Congratulations.
I thought you were spelling my name. Dang it. Congrats, PTR Motorsports. Man. So, hey, anybody that didn't win, please, still, at least go check out the website. Check out his Instagram page. Like I said, John's just always been a super good person to support the show because he loves off-road and he loves helping people on off-road. So we really appreciate him giving this back to you guys and supporting the community. So thank you very much, John. Really appreciate it. We'll get this sent out to the PTR Motorsports guys.
Awesome. Yeah, and if you guys have any questions on it, feel free to hit me up here. I'd be more than happy to go over it with you.
Sweet, dude. Thank you very much. All right, have fun. We'll see you at the races.
Awesome, George. Take it easy, guys.
See ya. All right, so we're going to wind down the show. Really appreciate everybody for joining us for episode 123 of the Dirt Life Show for the San Felipe 250 recap show. Thank you to Rob McCacken for joining us, Justin Lambert, Christian Serapis, Evan Weller, Caden Wells, Emma Cornwell, Wayne Matlock, Caden McCacken, and obviously John from Desert Squadron. You guys are our lifeblood. We really appreciate you guys joining us and hanging out, giving us all the comments, you know, commenting on your favorite drivers, talking stuff about off-roading is what we love doing here on the Dirt Life Show. So we really appreciate it. Thank you to the guys at KMC Wheels, Motul, Shock Therapy, JL Audio, EFX Tires, Evolution Power Sports, Zollinger Racing Products, Vision Canopies, Cryo Heat, and Solder Weld. Really appreciate all you guys for joining us, man. Man, I am tired. Hopefully I can get some rest. We go to Texas this week on Thursday, and we are going to be in Louisiana with the S3 Power Sports guys on Monday for a shop tour and live show from S3 Power Sports in Louisiana. So please pay attention to that. That's going to be an awesome show. We can't wait to see Dustin Jones and the whole crew, Dustin Henderson and all the guys over there. So, all right. I'm going to go get some rest. We love you guys. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Dirt Life Show. See you next week.